God in your own image. We're made in His. You can't rewrite the Bible. You can't cut out the parts you don't like and keep the ones you do. You can't have a Bible full of holes. For the Jesus who died for you is the same Jesus who is coming again, riding on a white horse with the armies of heaven. And the Bible says His eyes are blazing with fire, and He's coming to exact justice and judgment on the earth. The same Jesus who promised us in John 15:7, you can ask whatever you want and I will do it for you, is the same Jesus who in the breath before spoke verse 6, which says, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Jesus is bringing us to a place of decision today. We're at a crossroads in our discipleship journey. You see, there were a lot of people in John 6 who'd been following Jesus. They'd got to a certain point, and then it came decision time. Then they came to a junction. Then they came to a T-intersection, and it was right or left. Follow Christ in denying yourself, taking up your cross, and obeying Him, or continue to go the route of seeking for religion to promote your own agenda. If you choose to follow Jesus, then you come to the place of fruitfulness, for that's our second truth today. Fruitfulness requires fellowship with Christ. Just take your pen and fill in the blanks. Fruitfulness requires fellowship with Christ. For see, here's the truth we all have to grab hold of and take home with us today. There's no way you can fulfill your destiny. There's no way you can be fruitful. There's no way you can achieve God's plan for your life unless you are deeply connected in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself said, if you remain in me. He's given us the call to bear fruit, and now He makes it clear this is how you will do it. John 15:4-5. Jesus said, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And the beautiful, glorious truth that God wants you to know today is He's destined you to produce fruit, and He's come to offer you the greatest opportunity. You can achieve your destiny, no matter your educational level, no matter your background or your social standing. Nothing determines your fruitfulness in life except for one thing, abiding in Him and remaining in Christ. That's why when we come to church, we're not coming for a breakthrough. We're not coming for a miracle. We're not seeking an answer to prayer or healing or any other thing. We're coming to meet with Jesus Christ. I hope you enjoy the music. I hope you enjoy the messages and the stories. I hope you're blessed whether we have a good program or not. But the worship isn't about you. We're not here because of us. We're not here because of our need to consume fruit. We are here to offer our lives in worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to bear fruit that brings glory to Him. That's why Hebrews 12 tells us you have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and whirlwind as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. You've come to God Himself. You've come to Jesus. And too often we come to church looking for some kind of thrill, looking for some kind of excitement. If we get a tingle in our spine and we fall down, if our hands start to shake and we see a vision, we think we've had church. But we didn't come for ourselves. We didn't come for an experience. We didn't come for an event. We came to meet God. We came to meet Jesus. Do we have Jesus in our midst? When we wait upon Him, does He speak to us? When we sing the songs, do we glorify Him? Do we meet with Him? Or are we just going through the motions that make noise while Jesus stands outside and watches us dance? I hate to say it, but we have a lot of idolatry in the charismatic church today. We have a lot of idolatry. Idols are anything that you make that take the place of Jesus. And we have things we're doing that look good that are taking the place of Jesus. Let me tell you some of them. Speaking in tongues. Oh, Reverend, don't you believe in speaking in tongues? I do. The Bible talks about tongues. I believe they're for today. I speak in tongues every day. But when you speak in tongues in a mindless chanting that has no connection to a fellowship with Jesus, it's an idol you're using to achieve an end for your own self, not for God. The Bible says tongues are a prayer language that I speak to God. So how can you be texting on your phone and blasting in tongues without ever thinking about Jesus? Hello? And let me just say something about tongues for a minute. This isn't a teaching on tongues, but let me just say something. The Bible says, I speak in the tongues of men and angel. It's tongues. It's language is plural. So if all you can say is a monosyllable in a chanting, hubba-bubba, 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 what kind of language is that? I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but that's not a language. That's not a conversation with God. That's a chanting. Can I hear somebody say amen? Amen. And the rest of you can stone me later on. If you're filled with the Spirit and you're growing in your spiritual life, sometimes your tongue should sound different because it's not a tongue He gave you, it's tongues. Sometimes when I pray in tongues, it sounds Asian. Hing kong kong. If you're Chinese, forgive me. Sometimes it sounds Germanic. Sometimes it sounds like, I don't know, it must be the tongues of angels. I've never heard this before. But the point is, it's a language. There are languages God gives us to speak. And the Bible says, when we pray in languages unknown to us, we are praying to God. And your focus should be on God. And we've made an idol out of speaking in tongues. It's become a ritual. It's become a form. You can do it whether you can think about God or not. And here's the question to ask yourself. If you are banned from speaking in tongues for one whole day, would you have anything to say to God at all? Because some of us, if we can't pray in tongues, we can't pray more than 2 minutes. We can't think of anything to say. You have no fellowship with God. We've made an idol out of loud praying. Now, don't throw stones at me. I like to pray loud. Sometimes I get so excited, I start praying at the top of my voice, and the neighbors begin to complain. I tell you, there's times I've been moved upon by God, and my faith rose up, and my volume rose up, and I shouted in the name of Jesus. But you can make an idol out of loud praying, because your prayers are not heard because you scream. Your prayers are not heard because they're loud. They're heard because they're in accordance with the promise of God. And when you pray in the name of Jesus, it's the name of Jesus, whether you whisper or whether you shout. Somebody say amen. Amen. We have made idols out of our pastors. We've exalted them in most churches like they're little gods, and we bow down and worship them, feeding their ego and telling them how glorious and great they are. Let me tell you something. Don't you dare make me a celebrity. I'm not a celebrity. I'm a human being who's a servant of Jesus Christ. I thank you for your honor and respect. I appreciate it. The Bible says, show honor to whom honor is due, but do not make me a superstar. I don't want your flattery. I don't want to become lifted up with pride. I am a servant of Jesus Christ, and we are all equal at the cross. And if the Holy Spirit decided to take the anointing off of me and put it on you today, you'd be preaching up here instead of me. Somebody say amen. Don't you know that the person who receives the gift doesn't get the honor? It's the person who gives the gift. And everything we have is a gift. If you prophesy with perfect clarity, that's a gift. You didn't practice it. You didn't earn it. God gave you the gift. And the glory doesn't go to the man who received the gift. The glory goes to the one who gave the gift. So stop idolizing your prophets. Stop throwing money at them and running after them. And let's start to chase after Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. We've made idols out of anointing oil. We think there's some kind of mystical power in anointing oil. The anointing oil has no power except it's used in obedience and in accordance with God's word. We've made idols out of prophecy. Some of us won't move to the right or the left without a prophecy. I believe in prophecy. I'm praying for more prophecy in our church. But prophecy cannot take the place of God Almighty speaking directly to you. God doesn't want to go through a mediator. He wants to come to you. That's why Jesus died. You don't need a prophet or a man of God or a pastor to stand between you and Almighty God. It's only Jesus. He's the only mediator between God and man. Somebody say amen. And God is not looking for a people who can blast in tongues but don't hear His voice. God is not looking for a people who can pray loud and worship their pastor. God is looking for a people who fellowship with Him, who connect with Him, who unite with Him, who abide with Him, and He in us. Somebody say amen. For when we have that relationship, that fellowship with Him, it produces fruit. Religion produces hypocrisy. Form produces Pharisees. But fellowship with Jesus produces fruit. Many years ago, the great evangelist D.L. Moody was preaching in a church. He gave an altar call, and a young lady came forward. She was obviously a sinner. The way she dressed, there was more flesh than fabric. You know what I mean? She came forward and said, "I might like to get saved, but let me ask you a question. I have friends. I like to go to parties. I like music, drinking, dancing. If I become a Christian, can I still do all of that?" And D.L. Moody looked at her and said, "Young lady, if you give your life to Christ and become a disciple of Jesus, you can do whatever you like." She said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." She said, "Okay, I want to give my life to Jesus." So she knelt down. He laid hands on her and started praying. He prayed for the conviction of sin. He prayed for the vision of Christ dying on the cross. He prayed that the light of heaven would come into her darkened soul. He bound the works of darkness and broke the chains of deception. And he prayed for her till the Holy Ghost came down. She wept for her sin and got up born again. She left the church. The next Sunday, she came back in. When she walked in the back door, her face was glowing like an angel. And she went right up to Dr. Moody, and she said, "Sir, I want to tell you, what you told me last week was true. When I gave my life to Christ, I could do anything I want. But here's what happened. When I gave my life to Christ, what I want to do has changed. I no longer want to go to disco. I no longer want to smoke or drink or use drugs or dance or party or commit fornication. When I met Jesus, I've chosen him, and he's changed my heart." And I tell you today, if you will fellowship with Jesus, if you'll put aside the form and the religion and come to fellowship with him, it will change you. That's why he said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you." You can pray for anything you want and it will be done, because what you want will always line up with the Word of God. The story from Hannah from the Old Testament is a valuable lesson. In Hannah, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, the Bible tells us Hannah was barren. She had nothing. The Bible tells us her enemy was provoking her and mocking her. Hannah was so miserable. It says year after year. Somebody say year after year. Year after year, she wept and she cried until one day she couldn't take it anymore. For years, she suffered in torment. For years, she suffered in barrenness. She was weeping under the provocation and the mockery. But one year, she'd had enough. And suddenly that year, she said, "I'm going to press in and get to Jesus. I'm going to press in and fellowship with my God." And the Bible says she came to the altar in the tabernacle and she started pouring out her heart to God. See, all that other time, she'd been weeping. All that other time, she'd been praying. But this time, she said, "I'm going to touch God. I'm going to fellowship with him." And suddenly, when she met God at the altar, the barrenness was removed and the life of God filled her womb. And this is what we need in the church today. You may have a problem that's frustrated you for years. You may have been seeking a solution right or left. You may have spent nights crying and even nights praying, but God is calling you to put aside every other thing and get into a place of fellowship with him. He's calling you to be desperate so that you can do nothing but come to Jesus Christ and connect to him. Because when you're connected to him, he will bless you with life. He will bless you with fruit. And when you're connected to him, nothing can keep you down. You will bear fruit no matter what. The Bible tells us in the children of Israel in the book of Exodus that they went down to Egypt as 70 souls, but they came out of Egypt as more than 1 million. Now think about this for a moment. The people of Israel were slaves. They were oppressed. They had nothing better, no pay for their work, no entertainment, nothing they could do. It seemed as if the enemy was going to be able to hold them down. But the people became fruitful in the time of frustration because all they had was God. All they had was Jehovah. And the Bible says in Exodus 1:12, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And I want to let you know today, no matter what anybody does to you, no matter how the enemy comes against you, no matter how somebody may afflict you, no matter the mocking and the persecution, no matter the oppression the enemy may try to put upon you, when you've got God, God, when you've got connection to Jesus, when you're in fellowship with Him, you are going to bear fruit. They can't keep you down. They can't cut you off. They can't make you barren. They can't oppress you. You'll go in as 70, but you'll come out as more than a million if you will get in and press in and say, I'm not seeking solutions any other place. I'm seeking the Savior. I'm not looking for a breakthrough. I'm looking for my God to come and fellowship with me, because when I connect with Him, I will be fruitful. That's why Hosea 6:3 says, oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know Him. And that brings us to our third truth today. Turn your notes over and fill in the blanks. Fellowship with Christ requires two things. Fellowship with Christ requires faithfulness to His Word. Fill in the two words, faithfulness and Word. See, if we know that Christ is our source of fruitfulness, then we've got to get in fellowship with Him. We understand today that that will come as we're faithful to His Word. Jesus said, my words must remain in you. Listen to John 14, 21 and 23. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. All who love me will do what I say. Let me take that again. All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. This is the path Jesus offers all of us today for fellowship. He said, I'll come in fellowship with you. Not only me, but my Father will come in fellowship with you. If you'll what? If you'll listen to my word and do what I say. Friend, if you don't listen to God's word, why should God listen to your prayer? Why do you expect God to hear you when you won't hear Him? Ephesians 5, 25 and 26 says, Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. And the fact is, when we pray, when we abide in Christ, when we get in Him and His word in us, it's not that we might change God. It's that God can change us, so that through the transformation of His presence and His word in us, we can be fruitful. John 15:10, Jesus said, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in His love. Many years ago, I was living briefly in the United States. We'd bought a house. We had a small house on a big piece of land, and there was an outbuilding that I used to work. I had my office, my study there, and also kept my tools for the gardening, and I had other tools for home repairs and maintenance in this outbuilding. One day I was outside the outbuilding. I was behind the outbuilding, so I was blocked from the view from the house. And I heard my little daughter, Annabelle, who at the time was about 5 years old, I heard her open the door to the house, close the door, and I heard her calling, Daddy, Daddy, where are you? I wanted to come out from behind the outbuilding and say, oh, I'm over here, come and see me. But the Holy Spirit checked me. He said, stay where you are, and just called to her. And so I called, Annabelle, it's Daddy. I'm here. I'm behind the outbuilding. There was a short pause, and Annabelle said, but Daddy, I want to come to you, but I can't see you. Show me where you are so I can come near to you. Once again, the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, don't move. Just talk to her. And so I said this, Annabelle, if you want to find me, just follow my voice. As I talk to you, come close to where you hear me speaking, and you'll find me. I could hear her small steps, taking steps down the sidewalk, taking steps down the drive, and then I heard her stop. And with a quiver in her voice, she shouted again. She said, Daddy, Daddy, I can't see you. I want to come to you, but I can't see you. And I said, you don't need to see me. You just need to hear my voice. Follow my voice, and you'll find me. She took a few more steps. She said, Daddy. I said, I'm here. She took a few more steps. She said, Daddy. I said, I'm here. She took a few more steps. She said, Daddy. I said, I'm here. And suddenly, a little face popped around the side of the outbuilding. And she said, Daddy, I found you. And she came running into my arms. And the Holy Spirit says to you today, in times when you can't see Him, in times where you're not sure of where to go, He says, let my words remain in you. Let my voice speak to you. if you'll simply follow my voice, you will find me. For Jesus said in John 10, the sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. Jesus calls you today to hear his voice and follow him. Let his word remain in you. He calls us to himself so that we might abide in him and remain in him. When we abide in him, we will bear much fruit and glorify our Father in heaven.